We read scripture this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 2. The text is the first two verses. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. We read that far. We consider this morning the first two verses of this chapter. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I chose to preach on this text this morning, beloved, on account of two occasions, the first of which is the recent election in our country, the general election with its results, and the second is Thanksgiving Day, which we observe this morning and which our country observes today. Today, beloved, the Republicans in this country, at least the non-Christian or only nominally Christian Republicans, are no doubt and most certainly not giving thanks for President Obama. Many, if not most of them, are bemoaning their defeat in the election and chafing under the re-election of the president. The Democrats, on the other hand, are no doubt giving thanks today for the president. But at least the non-Christian or only nominally Christian among them are most certainly not giving thanks for the right reasons. Now, we as Christians must give thanks for our rulers. We are not called to give thanks for the God-dishonoring and wicked views, actions, and agendas of our rulers. But we are nevertheless called and exhorted in Scripture and in this very text to give thanks for kings and for all who are in authority. Therefore, I found it fit to address you and me this morning on this Thanksgiving Day on our exhortation and calling to give thanks, particularly for our rulers. Paul wrote this epistle to Timothy in order to instruct Timothy and to exhort Timothy, who was at this time a pastor in the church at Ephesus, in his calling as a pastor, in particular, how he ought to behave in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. He was exhorting Timothy in this entire epistle how he must behave and what must be done in the church. And he begins this instruction and he begins this list of exhortations in our text as we read, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, this is the beginning of his list. This is the beginning of his instruction to Timothy and of his exhortations to Timothy. The very first exhortation and the very first instruction to Timothy of how he ought to behave as a pastor in the church is, I exhort that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I call your attention this morning to our text, and we'll take as our theme the exhortation, pray and give thanks for our rulers. We notice, first of all, the exhortation, and secondly, its purpose. The exhortation and its purpose. The apostle exhorts Timothy in the text to pray for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority. Now, prayer is that spiritual activity, whether in public, as this morning was done, or in private, in your personal devotions, or in your family life, whereby the Christian comes consciously and deliberately before God in order to express thanksgiving to Him, in order to worship Him, and in order to bring before Him our requests for all of our needs, both physical and spiritual. That is prayer. The apostle uses four terms in the text to describe the activity of prayer. The first is supplications. This word is a word which refers to the individual and particular petitions or requests which we make in our prayers. The second word is prayers. That word refers to the whole activity of prayer, the activity of prayer in general, from start to finish, with all of its particular parts and all of its elements and aspects. The third word is intercessions. That word refers to a particular kind of petition or request, namely, a request made for and on behalf of another. A request which is made for a fellow saint, for example, who has gone through surgery or is experiencing affliction of various kinds. Intercession. And fourth, giving of thanks, which is that activity whereby we acknowledge God as the giver of all of the gifts and blessings we enjoy, and whereby we praise, worship, and adore Him as the sovereign giver and as our sovereign Father. That is giving of thanks. Now the apostle exhorts Timothy in the text to pray and to give thanks for all men. Now the word men in the text does not refer to the male gender as opposed to the female gender. He is not saying pray for the males, but not the females, the men and not the women. But he is saying the word in the text for men refers to mankind. It refers to human beings. He is saying pray for human beings, for men. But when the apostle says pray for all men, he is not teaching that Timothy must pray for or attempt to pray for every single human being in the world, without exception, and head for head, which would not even be possible, which would certainly not be practical. But rather, the apostle is exhorting Timothy to pray for all kinds of men, for all classes of men, for all categories of men. And the apostle frequently speaks that language in all of his epistles. Not only for the Jews, but for the Greeks. Pray not only for the bond, but for the free. Pray not only for the men, but for the women. Pray not only for the adults, but for the children and for the elderly. Pray not only for your employees, but for your employer. Pray for your minister, elders, and deacons. Pray also for kings. Not only for citizens, but for kings and for all who are in authority. Timothy, Paul exhorts, pray for all men and give thanks for all classes of men. And so, parenthetically, when in verse 4 we read that God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, the Arminian has no right to that text as a proof for his view that God wants every single individual human being to be saved. That is not at all in the apostle's mind or in the mind of the Spirit in this text. But the apostle and the Spirit means God wills and wants and desires to save all classes of men, all kinds of men, bond and free, Jew and Greek, kings too, and citizens. Now this morning, beloved, on this occasion of Thanksgiving, we focus our attention on just one of those words, giving of thanks. We focus our attention on this exhortation, give thanks for all men, and especially for kings and all in authority. I, beloved, this morning exhort you and me to give thanks for all men. First and foremost, I exhort us to give thanks for Christ. Give thanks for one man in particular. Give thanks for the one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Give thanks today in your prayers and in your conversation. Give thanks tomorrow and the next day and every day for that one mediator, the one man who is the one reconciler of us to God, the one man who gave his life a ransom for you and for me by his death on the cross, by shedding his blood on the cross. Give thanks for that man, the man Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Give thanks that that man has provided you and me with the gift of salvation and of the knowledge of the truth. Furthermore, if you are married, give thanks for your spouse. Husbands, let's give thanks today for our wives. Thank God for your wives. Thank God for giving to you a friend, a lifelong mate and friend. Thank God for giving to you a helper meet for you, a helper who is fitting to you, a helper who compliments you. Give thanks to God for giving to you a companion in life, someone to support you, someone to listen to you, someone to talk to. Give thanks for your wife. Wives, give thanks for your husband. Thank God for your husband. Thank God for giving to you a friend and companion in your husband. Thank God for giving to you a protector and a defender, someone to provide for you and support you. Thank God for your husband. Furthermore, if you are parents, give thanks for your children. Thank God for your children. For every one of your children. Thank God for the tremendous blessing and gift of children. Even of many children. If God has so blessed you. Thank God for your children. Thank Him for the privilege of raising up the children and the seed of the church. Thank God for your children. Thank God in connection with that for our Christian schools. Thank God for the teachers who labor in those Christian schools day after day, who give of their time, who sacrifice their energies and their efforts, who pour themselves heart and soul and mind into their labors in order to train up your children. Thank God for those teachers. Thank God for the schools in general and for all who labor in the schools. Furthermore, beloved, thank God for your office bearers. Give thanks for your office bearers. Thank God for your elders. Thank God for giving to them gifts, tremendous gifts. Gifts to rule, gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, gifts of courage and boldness to stand for the truth, to stand for righteousness, and to make all of us, you and me, accountable to God, to live a godly life, and to stand in the faith and in the truth. Thank God for your elders who faithfully wield the keys of the kingdom. Thank God for your deacons. For God has given to them too tremendous gifts. God has bestowed upon them too the talents and spiritual abilities necessary for their office. Thank God for the deacons who give to you and to me an opportunity to give to the poor and the needy, to give to the kingdom causes. Thank God for the deacons who also faithfully collect those alms and those funds, who take good care of them and who distribute them with wisdom to your fellow brothers and sisters in the church. Thank God for all of your fellow saints in this church, for the one next to you right now and in front and behind of you. Give thanks to God for all of the saints in this church. Thank God for giving you godly friends, friends who have the same faith, the same precious faith as you do. Thank God for their fellowship, for their friendship, for their love, for their help and support. Thank God for their gifts, for their talents, which they employ for your benefit and for mine, and for the benefit of the whole church. Thank God. Give thanks. Furthermore, give thanks for your employer, for your boss, or if you are an employer, for your employees. Thank God for your employer. Thank God that your employer has given to you a job, has given to you the means of an income, of supporting your family, of putting food on your table, of paying your bills, of living and existing in the world, of not being homeless and on the street. Thank God for your employer. And thank God for your employees who labor on your behalf. Yes, you give them a paycheck. Nevertheless, they willingly work for you. Thank God for your employees. Because of their work, you too have an income and are able to supply your needs. Thank God for all men, beloved. Give thanks for all men. But in the text, the apostle draws our attention specifically to one class of men. Paul says, I exhort you, Timothy, to give thanks and to pray for kings and for all in authority. Or, in our modern situation, I must exhort you, beloved, give thanks and pray for the President of the United States of America. Give thanks and pray for the representatives and senators in Washington. Give thanks and pray for the Supreme Court justices. Give thanks and pray for the governor of Michigan, for the legislature of Michigan, and the judges in Michigan, and for the local rulers as well. Give thanks and pray for kings and all in authority, whether they be Democrat or Republican. Give thanks and pray for kings and all in authority. First of all, give thanks for them. Now that seems impossible, does it not? How can I give thanks for rulers who are either non-Christian or blatantly anti-Christian? How can I give thanks for rulers who promote abominable acts like abortion and homosexuality? How can I give thanks for rulers who waste my tax dollars and drive up an incomprehensibly high national debt? How can I give thanks for rulers who lie, who cheat, who commit adultery, who lust after power and will do absolutely anything for power? How do I give thanks for such rulers as these? Yes, it seems almost impossible. But then again, how could Timothy give thanks for Caesar? Who was the king in Paul's day? Caesar. Who was Caesar? A pagan, an ungodly, anti-Christian man, a type of the Antichrist himself, a man who hated Christians. Or if you prefer not to mention Caesar, think of any of the other kings or any of the other authorities in Paul's day. Think of Herod. Think of Festus. Think of Felix. And think of all of the others. Who were these men? Not Christians. Ungodly men. Anti-Christian men. Men who persecuted the church and wanted to destroy the church. And yet Paul exhorts Timothy, give thanks for them. And pray for them. And we must too. Give thanks for your rulers in this country and in this state. Give thanks that God, through them, maintains peace and order, structure and stability in this land. Give thanks that God, through them, protects you from crime and criminals in this land and from foreign invasion from without. Thank God. Give thanks that God, through them, preserves, at least thus far, our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, and our freedom to assemble here this morning. Thank God for your rulers. Also pray for them, and that in the second place. The apostle says not only to give thanks for all men and for kings, but also to pray for them, to make intercession for them, and to make supplications for them, to bring our petitions to God on their behalf, to pray for them. Now that too seems almost impossible, and if not impossible, at the very least, undesirable. To pray for our wicked rulers, and most of them are wicked, beloved. To pray for them? Yes. I exhort you, Paul says, pray for kings and all in authority. Pray that God will continue to maintain peace and order, structure and stability through them. Pray that God will continue to preserve our freedoms in this land through them. Pray that God will continue to preserve peace and that God will continue to protect us from crime and from warfare through them. But also this, and this is right in the text, or the context, pray that if it is God's will, they will be saved. For God wills to save all men, and God wills that all men will come to the knowledge of the truth. No, not every individual man, head for head. Nevertheless, he prays that all classes of men will be saved. Pray for your rulers, that they might be saved. that they might come to the knowledge of the truth, to which knowledge you have come and I have come. Pray for that. Pray for kings and all who are in authority. Paul also expresses to Timothy the purpose of this exhortation in the text. And the purpose really belongs especially to the specific exhortation to pray for kings and to give thanks for kings. The purpose is stated in these words, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Pray for your kings. Pray for the president of this country and all of the others, and give thanks for them with this purpose, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The word for life in the text is not the more general word which refers to life as such, to that power or energy by which one lives, whether physical or spiritual. But the word in the text is the word bios, which refers rather to the life lived. It refers to the days and years of our life. It refers to the times and seasons of life from birth to death. It refers to the totality of our actions and choices which constitutes our life. That's the idea of the word. It's the word from which we get the term biography, which is a written statement about the life of a man or woman. To lead life, then, or literally to lead through life, or to lead oneself through life, is simply to live. It is to live our life. It is to carry on our life with all of its activities, with all of its choices. It is to go to work, to come to church, to go to school, to engage in recreation and play. It is to do all of the things which are done in and through life. That is to lead life. Now the purpose why we pray and must pray for kings and our authorities is so that we might lead our life in peace and quiet. That is, so that our life will not be troubled and harassed by chaos and anarchy, by warfare and trouble, by perpetual crime and commotion and turmoil in the land, which things result in fear and anxiety, stress, uncertainty, and an almost paralysis by which we cannot move or act, but rather that we might live a life of peace and quiet, that is, that we might live a life in a land and a world and a country which has stability, order, and structure. That there might be such things in our country, because these instill confidence to act and to live. These instill the peace of mind and the calm which are necessary to lead life through the world. The purpose why we must pray for kings and for all in authority, and the purpose why we must pray for all men, for our husband or wife, for our children, for our teachers, for our employer, is so that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in every sphere, in the job site, in the home, in the school, and in society at large. That is the purpose. But why? Why do we need to lead a quiet and peaceable life? Why do we want to lead a quiet and peaceable life? The reason, beloved, is not so that we can build tremendous financial empires in this world. The reason is not so that we can build a business from the ground up and make a name for ourselves in the world. The reason is not so that we can become wealthy and powerful in the world. The reason is not so that we can enjoy all of the pleasures of this world and do as we please in this world. The reason is not so that we can achieve something. That's why the world wants peace and quiet. So they can be something. So they can enjoy this life, because this life is all there is. But that is not the purpose. That is not the reason why the Christian wants and why the Christian needs a life of peace and quiet. The purpose is rather that we might lead life in all godliness and honesty. Godliness refers to a way of life which is characterized by reverence, piety, and obedience to God. That's godliness. A way of life characterized by reverence, piety, and obedience to God. That's the kind of life a Christian wants to live, and that's the kind of life a Christian needs to live. That's why he needs peace and quiet. The Christian needs and wants to come to church twice on the Sabbath day. But if the country is full of chaos and anarchy, turmoil and upheaval, that may become impossible. The Christian wants and needs to train up his children in the way that they must go. And today that involves usually the use of the Christian schools. But if this land is troubled by chaos and upheaval, it may very well be those schools will have to close down. And those schools will be overrun and destroyed, invaded by the state. The Christian wants to lead a life of worship. The Christian wants and needs to support the preaching of the gospel. The Christian knows that the preaching of the gospel must ride forth, must go forth into all of the world, in this country and in other countries. But if the world is full of chaos and upheaval and turmoil, that preaching is stopped, that preaching is halted, that preaching is checked at every point. The Christian needs and wants to live a life in all godliness, reverence, worship, and obedience to God. And especially, he wants the preaching to go forth into all lands, because he knows only in that way will the end come. But the Christian also needs and wants to live a life of honesty. Honesty in the text refers not only to telling the truth, but it refers more generally to a life, a way of life which is characterized by integrity, by trustworthiness, by kindness, by fairness, by justice in every sphere of life. Honesty, integrity, that is the way of life a Christian wants and needs to live. The Christian wants and needs to live that way in the workplace. He wants to perform business and work and labor in justice and integrity. But if the world is full of chaos and war and turmoil, he will not be able to even to do that. The Christian wants to let his light shine in the world. The Christian wants to evangelize and witness to the world. The Christian wants to, by his good conversation and behavior, save others to Christ. But if the world is full of chaos and turmoil and warfare, the Christian will have to hide in his home. And like others, he will not be able to let his light beam forth, but will hide in fear, anxiety, and paralysis in his home. That's why, beloved, that's why we pray for kings and all in authority. And that's why we give thanks for them. It seems impossible to give thanks for our rulers. but it is necessary. And when we remember what our rulers preserve and maintain, regardless of their morality, then we will know why we must give thanks for our rulers. We must make this prayer, beloved, for kings and all in authority, in the full knowledge that one day that peace and quiet will be snatched away. We make it in the full knowledge that one day, in the not too distant future, those kings and authorities will turn against us, will persecute us, will imprison us, and may even kill us. We make this prayer in the full knowledge of the coming persecution, of the coming Antichrist and his kingdom. But we make it until that day. We make it that God will preserve peace and quiet until that day. We make it so that the church may continue to fulfill its task until that day. So I exhort you, as the representative of Jesus Christ in your midst, I exhort you and me, pray for all men. Pray for your kings and for all in authority. And give thanks for all men. Give thanks for kings and all in authority, that we might live a peaceful and quiet life in godliness and in honesty. Amen. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for all men, for kings, for presidents, and for all in authority. And we pray, Father, that through them thou wilt maintain peace and quiet, that we might lead our lives in godliness and honesty. Grant, Father, thy blessing upon us as we carry on our work in the world, as we as the church, too, carry on the work which thou hast appointed to us. We pray that our Lord Jesus might come, and come quickly. Forgive our sins, and blot them out in his precious blood. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.